Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of VGC, the video game podcast, with me, Jordan Midler, and Chris Scullion, going over WWE 2K24. We've had time to play the game, to check out the roster, and to see who has and hasn't made it into the showcase of the Immortals. Chris, how are you?
I'm very well. I'm trying to think of a wrestling reference to start with, but I can't think of one. I'm very
You're
tired.
Bleeding like a stuck pig. You're as happy as a government mule.
I've been punched in the bread basket. Yes, the old one.
Your solar plexus is absolutely all over the place. Just phrases that you only ever heard from good old JR. But we are back again for WWE 2K. I think it's weird that these games release in like the middle of spring now. For me, like a wrestling game is always like a later in the year thing. But let's get started. Your overall thoughts on WWE 2K24 and how much you've played so far?
I'm very happy with it so far. I've put about 15, 20 hours into it. I've finished showcase mode, kind of been rinsing my faction, done a few different kind of exhibition games. So I haven't dabbled with like the kind of my GM mode or anything like that yet, but I've kind of that's kind of my side of it is the other stuff. But yeah, so far so good. It's nothing massively drastically different from the previous game, but all the additions they've made by and large seem to be positive ones.
Yeah, it certainly feels like WWE 2K23.5, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a lot of the kinks are worked out. Mm-hmm. The modes are pretty not massively kind of revolutionary, but there's a lot to like about it. Yeah. So far I've played a lot of my GM mode, I played a lot of my faction, but then I got completely wiped, so I felt quite affronted to go back to that until it's officially out. Not played any of the My Rise stuff, and I've not played Showcase. Mm-hmm. But I have messed about with a couple of the new matches. The headline new matches are Special Guest Referee, Casket Match, and Ambulance Match. Starting with the Casket Match, this is a match type that the is rarely actually appeared in games, mainly because it's quite annoying to work around the casket mechanic, but I think they've done it well so far. Essentially, in a casket match, you have to go to the side of the ring closest to the ramp, press R1 to open the casket, then throw your opponent in, and the submission minigame starts, essentially, and that's how it's determined who wins and who loses. I've played a few of these. I think they're more loose than back in the day, where only one or two specific things would take someone over to the casket. But what do you think about casket match specifically, and you hope that now that they've done it, they'll just keep it in and not just like throw it away for another 5 years like they usually do?
I would hope so. I mean, because is war games still in it?
War games, yes. You can still play war games.
Stumbleboard war games. That's good. It's nice. It's a nice mode. Like you say, they've done as well with it as they could do. I still think it's quite fiddly at times. But stuff like the stuff that I always test these things to try and break them, don't you? Like first, you do the strong Irish whip to the side of the ring where the casket is, and they fall over the top of it, like in a satisfying way. And the same deal when you leave the ring from that end, from that way, you kind of step over it, and it works quite well. It's a shame that it kind of ends in a submission mini game, but I can't really think of any other way they could have done it.
I did kind of experimented, and this may still be the case. I may just not have done enough damage. If you're so messed up. There's like an auto close, like you know how in the Royal Rumble, if you've taken like maximum damage and you get thrown over, it's just like an automatic thing. Yeah. You can't even fight it. Like maybe that's the case, because it is a bit silly if you've just done like a super finisher and then you drag them over to the casket and they're still like, yeah, no problem. But yeah, I think the limit for me was like, okay, I'm going to do Big Evil Undertaker versus RVD in the Raw arena, see what I can get going. And first of all, I was like, my first wee bit of disappointment, you can't stand on the closed casket. I was hoping that it would operate a bit like the announce table, where you can now stand on it again. Yeah. I was hoping you could do that and jump off it and stuff. But you can use carry grapples, like if you've played the games, you know there's certain grapples you can do where you hold them in like the powerbomb position or like the body slam position and walk around with them. You can do those moves into the casket, so obviously the Undertaker can do a last ride. I think Cena can do an AA into the casket, which is another one you'd be wanting. But it doesn't seem, it's not perfect, but it feels like a thing that next year's game, they could be like, oh, with the kind of community feedback, they could be like, oh yeah, that's actually easy to do. That wouldn't completely break the thing.
Yeah.
And just do this.
Yeah. It's fun. It's another nice kind of new thing. I also like, and this is something that kind of carries on across all the modes, there's a lot of kind of bespoke commentary that they kind of throw in now as well, which is quite good. So when I did it with, I can't remember who I was, but it was versus Shawn Michaels. And as Shawn Michaels was coming out for his entrance, the commentary saying, oh, Shawn Michaels is obviously nervous about this because the last time he was in a casket match like this happened. And you go, oh, that's actually quite... and even like niche ones, like I did when I did the special referee, I played as Isla Dawn as the referee, just because it's Scottish. And there was specific bespoke commentary for that. It's like, oh well, Isla Dawn has her kind of odd kind of style, maybe how's that going to work as a referee? They've done a lot of bloody like one-off commentary for things like this. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, especially a lot of commentary work for, because so the commentary team is Michael Cole, Cody Graves, and Byron Saxton, which has not been an actual commentary team on television in years and years and years. But they've just it's the FIFA problem of they build on the library over and
might
over
as well have Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain here, isn't it?
Yeah, Jerry Lawler out there, heavy breathing. But yeah, the casket matches are cool. Have you played a couple ambulance matches? I've only played the one, and it was on Legend, and I got my whole punch. So how does the ambulance match play?
I prefer the ambulance match to the casket match because there's a bit more variety there. Because you can both, the ambulance is like the size of a large like dump truck. For some reason, it's like the biggest ambulance.
It's a big American ambulance. It's not just like a little shiter you'd got the RAH.
No, it's like a proper, it's the sort of ambulance you would use to transfer whales from the ocean to sea life. But it's cool because it's similar to the casket match in that you open the door, although the door's already open at this point. You don't, there's not a separate thing for opening the door. It's always open. You throw them in, but there's a variety of ways you can powerbomb them in. You can do like certain finishers to put them in, and then again it's the button bashing mini game again to close the door. But there's the added benefit of being able to actually climb on top of it, almost Hell in a Cell style, where you both spend a fortnight to climb to the top of the ambulance, and then you can powerbomb them off the ambulance and stuff like that. So it's kind of, I prefer it to the casket match because there's a wee bit more variety there. But by and large, it is the same, as the Simpsons would say, the same basic bear. It's just got different kind of. It just looks different. But it's
just another one they've not had in a while, the old ambulance matches.
Yeah.
It's in that tier of like mid-2000s gimmick matches that are just annoying to translate into a game and aren't really like, I think a lot about the Buried Alive match, which is a match that's like iconic and has a lot of instances where like some of the biggest wrestlers and biggest feuds in history have taken place in a Buried Alive match. But if you were to do it, it would be one of those like you stand, like the games that have had it, you stand on the edge of the hole and you go,
It's a kind of gimmick it's nice to have. It's nice to have a wide variety of match types, but you gotta imagine most people aren't going to say ambulance match again, please. It's nice to just mix things up about that. Imagine when you do My Rise or when you do the Universe, is it still called Universe Mode? I always forget.
Yeah, it's still called Universe.
That you'll throw in an ambulance match every now and then just to mix things up a bit. But it's just nice to have. But it's not, again, it's not completely revolutionary. It doesn't change it drastically compared to last year's game.
Yeah. Finally, The special guest referee match, which I am very impressed with how deep they've went on this. They've not only done this, they've actually licensed tons of referees. And for those who are listening to this and are like, and you're like, what do you mean? Like, obviously they're licensed, they're with the WWE. The referees are under different contracts from the talent. Mm-hmm. So previously you would just have random man, not legendary referees like Charles Robinson. The first match I played, I loaded up and it was Charles Robinson. I was like, this is amazing, man. This
five out of five.
This is so authentic. Lil Nate is right there. It's a shame that this came too late for like Mike Chioda to be part of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Or the Hebners, God rest.
The other disappointing thing, and I need to go back to last year's to see if that was the case as well, but obviously in showcase mode, they've got a lot of archive footage, and obviously anything that's blurrable, they have to blur in that. But especially the first like 10 to 15 WrestleManias worth is just blur city. Every referee's face is blurred. All the WWF markings are blurred. Some crowd signs are blurred. It's like, mate, come on. Like half the stuff's blurry, and it's just...
Which is weird, because that must be them re-editing WWE's footage, because on the network they have a blanket agreement to use the WWF logo and archive footage now because of this problem. Because when they were doing the network, they were like, if we have to blur all of this stuff, it would take us 50 years to actually put
even
it
when
out.
You see, I don't know what's going on with likeness rights, however, even when you see in the background the announce team, if JR's in it, his face is blurred. And it's like, that's extreme. Like, he was there at the time. It's like, so when it's JR and Heyman, you see Heyman, but not JR. It's like, it's pretty odd.
Especially because in the Then Now Forever intro, there's like the Ric Flair Woo, someone who is not like currently with the company and stuff like that. They just need... That's a 2K issue. Yeah. I know for a fact that in one of the matches in the showcase mode, which we'll come on to shortly, Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton from WrestleMania 31, I think. Mm. Not a classic match, exclusively in the showcase because of that amazing thing at the end. J&J Security are in it, who's Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble, but it's legally not them.
It's not just them.
Guys that vaguely look like them.
It's funny because like they're blurred. Like when it cuts to the footage, they're blurred, and then it cuts back to the game, and they're just generic guys, and they keep just calling them. The camera calls them like his security team, or whatever they never call them by their name. It's not quite as bad as when Mike Tyson was in it and was just some random Asian guy. Like it's not as bad as that, but yeah, it's still quite jarring to see.
So let's talk about it.
Let's do it.
The showcase mode, celebrating 40 years of WrestleMania. How's the match selection, and secondly, in fact, let's start with that because there's a lot to talk about here. How's the match selection?
So I actually cover this in nerdy detail in the review because obviously we've both been big wrestling fans for a long time. Sadly, me longer than you, just purely by years rather than dedication.
My first WrestleMania was 19. If that gives you any
mine was six, so that's quite depressing. although I then rented the old ones through Silver Vision VHS to fill my knowledge. The selection's okay. I don't think anyone other than maybe the Orton and Seth Rollins one. I don't think anyone would point out one of those matches and say, wait a minute, this wasn't a good match. They're all good matches, but it's clear that they've been kind of handicapped to an extent by what they can choose based on who they could get the licenses for. So it doesn't start till WrestleMania 3. So like 1 and 2 are just both ignored. Obviously, because Flair's not in it, you don't get Flair Savage during the whole Miss Elizabeth when Ric Flair pretended he was nicking about with Miss Elizabeth and Macho Man went raging. That's not in it.
The world's first deep fake.
exactly. It's so far ahead of its time. There's no, because Edge and Christian aren't in it, the Hardy Boys aren't in it, there's no kind of
that's
big...
the thing. The Attitude Era is knackered in this. Like you go from WrestleMania 10 to 13 with Bret Hart and Stone Cold, and then it goes to X7, then 20.
Yeah.
There's like nothing in the Attitude Era.
There's no gimmick battle royale.
even matches that weren't considered classics in their time, like no Chris Jericho means no Triple H Chris Jericho from then.
No Benoit, obviously. No Bret and Owen in WrestleMania 10, which is an amazing fight. So like, it's a shame because, again, like I said, they're limited by what they can pick. So from what they've been able to choose from, fair enough. But there are still some you think, that was... I mean, they did an old like Legends of WrestleMania game from like years and years and years ago, which I think did a better job of kind of summing up WrestleMania. But again, I suppose the whole point of that game is that. So they maybe stretched out a bit more for the licenses. But but we live in a different world now where licensing's even more confused. Although oddly, Muhammad Ali's in there just for no reason, but not in showcase mode.
Yeah, you've got to imagine that they put Muhammad Ali in there, like... I get the feeling that they signed that off first and then they're like, okay, can we get Mr. T? No. Can we get Paul Orndorff? No. So the Paul Orndorff thing is weird because his family want it, but he was part of a suit against the WWE, so he's on kind of weird terms. He only appeared, I think he only appeared on WWE TV as a legend like once when they did like a Hogan birthday celebration thing. He came out and no one recognized he's wonderful.
I don't think he's ever been in a single WWE game at any point. Like Mr. Wonderful has been written off the virtual,
God rest
virtual history books. But sad days. God rest him indeed.
The selection toward is obviously very modern focused, which makes sense. There's just some that are a bit strange by their omission. I'm just making sure this is not here. Like, why isn't Rey Mysterio versus Randy Orton versus Kurt Angle in there? Like, that's three people they have the license to.
See, you wonder if there's a point where they just said, okay, we want 20 because we don't want to. Well, I say 21, like, the last one's just annoying, but we can get to that.
Is it a legitimate match?
You know, like last year's one they did, like when you finished the John Cena one, at the end they said, oh, by the way, now you can't see him and you had to fight an invisible John Cena. It's not that daft, but it's still pretty daft. And it's like...
Okay, then that makes this question even more pertinent. Why the fuck is Hulk Hogan versus The Rock not in this list?
A very good question. A very good question. Like, that's like one of the most important. And especially because like Hogan's in it. Like the showcase mode has like...
He's so rarely in it because he's a big racist.
That's the thing. And like the showcase mode has interviews with actual wrestlers in it in between. So Corey Graves hosts it. And he's always standing in the crowd saying, gives you the history of a thing. And then it's sometimes you'll say, and now here's Stone Cold Steve Austin to tell you about the match. And then Austin saying, yeah, it was a great match. And then it cuts back to Graves and says, thank you very much to Stone Cold. And now it's up to you. And he said, it's the same script like every single time almost. Thank you very much to whoever the hell it was. And now it's up to you. Hogan does... does these pieces to camera at the start. I don't think Rock does. But then, so it's weird that Hogan's there. He's sitting being filmed, and yet they didn't put that in. Also, nicely awkward that there's two of them have you playing as Brock Lesnar, and one of them has Vince McMahon.
Let's get on to that, because obviously this could not have happened at a worse time. This is... Vince McMahon is in the midst of legal battles. You can go and Google them if you're not familiar with that horror. One of the while Brock Lesnar has not been named, he's been implicated in one of the legal battles, thus putting 2K in a dodgy situation. So how's it handled in game?
In showcase mode, this is as if it never happened. So there's two Lesnar Undertaker streak ending one is obviously in there. There's another Lesnar one, I can't remember which one it is, that's in there as well. There's one, I can't remember the fight, but there's a fight where McMahon comes out and goes ringside, the one where Thingy turns heel, Austin turns
heel. Is that Rock Austin?
Austin turns heel, so that one's in it, and McMahon comes out and they make a big deal of McMahon being out and standing ringside. And then the two Lesnar ones, you play as Lesnar because he wins. You always play as whoever wins the match. Mm. But outside of showcase mode, they don't exist. So there's no... Although I haven't said that, I've not played through my Rise yet, so they might appear in that. Just as part of the storyline.
I believe that they do pop up at some point in that, but I'm not entirely...
But certainly in terms of exhibition matches and that, you can't play as Brock Lesnar, you can't play as Vince McMahon. You know for a fact they're going to be in community creations within 30 seconds of the game being out, but legally and officially, neither of them are playable in kind of any modes outside of the modes that they were kind of inserted into, like presumably months earlier, because showcase would have been all sorted like a long time before. They've got to make the video packages, they've got to put in the menus and everything. You can't easily just.
I mean, Lesnar was literally on the cover art.
Yeah.
Literally on the 40 years of WrestleMania cover art.
And it's very easy to just kind of switch off a character from a list of a roster and an exhibition mode, but it's really not easy to completely remove two matches from a 20 match thing and just like assume, pretend they don't exist because it messes up the entire menu system and everything. So they've just kept them in and just not included them in any promotional material whatsoever. So yeah, it's awkward. It's an awkward one because like you're going to get kids or people just playing showcase mode, and after that saying, "Oh, I've just played two matches as Brock Lesnar. Where is he?" Like and the other like because it's weird. It's kind of
it's a good guide in that.
Definitely. I'll just go on that right now. Where is he? Where is Lesnar?
I think this was the best approach. Like I think this is what they had to. I'm just because he's not actually been accused of anything, I'm kind of surprised that they did this with Brock, but like there's no way that like I'm shocked that even before this recent round of stuff they were like, yeah, let's still have Vince in it. Like I know he is absolute like corner furniture to the history of the WWE, but it's
anyway. It's odd when you look through the roster as well, how so many of them just aren't there anymore, and like they've just obviously just kept them in just to make the numbers up. Like Uncle Howdy's still in it. And it's like, well, he fought once, like, and then he's clearly never coming back. Stephanie McMahon's still in it, even though like she left like quite a while ago. So it's odd. There's some odd kind of choices in there. Obviously, not anyone who's moved to AEW or in like that, but people who just kind of left and haven't done anything since. Some of them are still in there. I'm not complaining because, but it's just weird. I like that there's like six different Bray Wyatts and six different John Cenas, which is quite fun.
So let's talk about the roster. I think the being a gamer, the first thing I thought when AEW started signing all these people was, oh no, they're not going to be in the games anymore. And thus, as we've said, no Edge and Christian, no Chris Jericho, no Bryan Danielson, all the people, no Claudio, Samoa Joe, the people that have been kind of staples of the game going back recently. However, in terms of depth, it's a massive roster that is like ridiculous how long it takes to scroll down because they've got people on NXT where like I think I'm pretty plugged into wrestling. Some of these names come up and I'm like, who? Like who is this? Who are these guys that are apparently some kind of faction together called Chase U? Do you know who Chase U is?
I'm afraid NXT isn't in my wheelhouse.
No, like I know a bit about NXT, but yeah, so they're. That stuff's really well represented. It's a good sprawling kind of mix of legends. There's some that you'd really like. I wish that you couldn't be exclusive to one company or the other as a legend. Like it feels like when you get to a certain tier, it should just be like you should be put into the wrestling public domain. But I understand why that's not the case. What do you think of the roster?
I think it's fine. I mean, for me, I'm more disappointed. I'm very nerdy when it comes to their faces and stuff like that. And I've put up there's a comically large article on VGC. I don't know if you look through it yet, but for people to scroll through.
I've been trying to load it since 9 o'clock this morning. It's not quite 56K finished.
56K modem. They've got 190 images in there comparing what everyone who was in 2K23 and is now in 2K24. What they look like then and what they look like now, and a hell of a lot of them have exactly the same face. And I understand that you can only scan so many people a year, and the priority has to be given to the NXT wrestlers who are new to the game. So obviously they need to be scanned, and therefore they take priority. So you can't scan everyone who's already in it, rescan them. But some of them are like, some of them look worse. Like Sami Zayn looks objectively worse. Some of them haven't been changed at all, and you would think they would have been. Like some of the kind of the higher tier wrestlers appear to have the same face as they did last year. But in terms of the actual roster, let's say, I think it's fine. It's as good as it could have been. It's like there's a load of jobbers in my faction. I don't know if you noticed that. Like right at the bottom of my faction, they've made like all these completely fictional jobbers, kind of like back in WWF Attitude, when you need to fight through a bunch of made up guys at the start of the They've done
so
that again.
All those characters, they're also in My GM for you to like fill out your roster with like random kind of squash match people. There's like there's a guy called like Gunther McGurders who's like a builder, which I think is like some of them are quite funny. Yeah. Like they've got like clearly the people that made them at 2K are like big wrestling fans, and they're like, okay, this would be like a funny kind of jobber name. But yeah, I'm just looking through this article that now it's like some of them are really bang on, and they really don't need to make that many changes to them. And there's obviously slightly new lighting in this game. Yes, yeah. Yeah, so some of them, like a lot of the lassies look really depressed in this game.
Well, that's the thing. It's funny that I was taking the screenshots as just a side note. 2K23 has this weird bug where when you go into edit mode to edit someone's face, to move the camera into someone's face, they look normal for like 5 or 6 seconds, and then suddenly they look really sad and look down to the floor. So you need to get a screenshot of them within 6 seconds, otherwise they look absolutely depressed. And it's like, yeah, it's weird. But yeah, some of them, like Bobby the Brain Heenan's got a new face, which is good, which makes sense because he's in like 3 or 4 of the showcase things. But lot of them are kind of similar faces, which is disappointing. There's a new Andre face.
Looks like Eddie's got a slightly new face
slightly.
As well.
The fun thing about, I say the fun thing, I might actually mean the complete opposite. The one annoying thing about Showcase, just going back to Showcase because I forgot to say this, they've got this, what do they call it, slingshot technology, which they've had in the last couple of games now, where you're playing the game and you get to a certain point in the match and you know which point it is because suddenly the instructions get very specific because they give you objectives like do some damage and you damage them a certain amount and it's like do a weak combo and you do that and then it's like do a power bomber and then suddenly it says go to the southwest corner of the ring and stand. I'm like, all right, okay, so they're clearly putting you in position so that it can then switch to full motion video, and at that point it cuts to actual footage from the match and Corey Graves continues to give you commentary saying this happened and this happened. But some of them, the footage lasts forever. Like Terry Fogstell, forever. Like, I think the Hogan and Warrior one, they show the bear hug, which lasts like 10 minutes, and you're just sitting watching a bear hug for ages, going, come on, mate. Like, just so by the end of it, by the time I got to like the modern stuff, every time it went to full motion video, I just skipped it instantly. Cause I'm like, I'm not sitting here for eight or 9 minutes just watching something when I could just be playing it. But yeah, so that was a bit annoying. Also, the attention to detail, like Warrior's face paint wears off by the end of that the Hogan Warrior match and stuff like that. I'm rambling a bit here because there's a lot to cover.
Which is why it's a tragedy that Sting's not in this fucking game, because that is the Sting thing. Yeah. I know it works with Finn Balor as well, but so you mentioned it there, and it reminds me, I despise that they still do this combo style combat in these games, because when I play wrestling games, I play it like it's a work. I'm trying to make like a nice looking match.
Still real to me, damn it.
It was 2K19, I think was the last game where they had like working holds, and you could like swap between working holds, and then you could send them off to the ropes and do the thing you've seen in every wrestling match ever. It's called International, where you like drop under a clothesline, jump up, and then all that stuff. Brilliant. But in this match, you start and you're in like a boxing stance. And you're like, punch, 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 grapple. And so many matches, it's been like, okay, 3 kicks and then a pile driver. It's like, well, the drama of this match is just done. Yeah. Like,
I'll tell you what I miss. This is from one a few years back as well. When you used to be able to hold a button and choose a limb to target. And you can't do that anymore. Especially now because in my faction, a lot of the... there's four, for those who haven't played my faction yet, there's 4 different types of wrestlers, like power, technical, striking and acrobatic, and each one's got their own set of tasks that you need to kind of clear to win some matches. And so I think this is a technical one, like 2 of them are like wear down their arms and wear down their legs, and like wear down their arms is nearly impossible because you need to lie them down and you need to target their arms and then do one specific move over and over and over again in their arms, whereas back in the day you could get them in a grapple and hold a button down and press the arm button. And like you had different moves for their arms. It's weird. That's gone.
Especially because it's super non-specific. Like the amount of moves that you'll do that look like they should attack the arms, and it's just torso. Doesn't matter. There's some weird nitpicky stuff like that. There's a new thing. I can't remember what it's called. It might be called Trading Blows, where they've tried to gamify the bit where you punch and then the other person punches and you're both groggy and then you build up the momentum. Yeah. But they are so excited to show you this mini game. They'll fire it in first 5 seconds of a match, and what happens is like a bar will fill around this little circle, and if you get it in the green, you hit the punch, and then there's like a microscopic gold, and if you get it there, you'll automatically win it, and you'll go. And again, this is the kind of thing that me and my pals used to simulate when we'd play games of 2K19. Like, we'd be like, okay, let's do this part of the match where you're like slowly punching each other. But because it's so gamey in this, and it happens all the time, and they last fucking forever if you don't hit the yellow thing. Like, I turned it. It can either be on, which means it starts kind of automatically, off, which means they're completely turned off, or there's like a manual mode where you can do a specific input to start it. Highly recommend putting it on manual mode.
I'd recommend turn it off and turn blood on. That's the first two things you should always do.
Oh yeah, turn blood on, definitely.
Always turn blood on, but which is funny because Showcase can't decide whether it approves of blood or not. It's like when they do the video package before Austin and Bret Hart, all the famous shots of Austin screaming with blood dripping down his face are in black and white, but then when you play the actual match, it's like in full color, properly gushing down his face. It's like, well, which is it? He's censoring it or not, mate? Should we talk about my faction for a bit?
Yeah, let's do my faction. My faction is the ultimate team of WWE, as it's easy enough to put in. Basically, you build up factions of four cards for each sex, so four male superstars, four female superstars, then you take on a series of matches and challenges. You can open packs to get new cards, you can use in-game currency, which takes forever, or real money, which takes instant. So you played a lot of my faction last year. I didn't really touch it last year beyond kind of opening the packs that we got as part of whatever edition they sent. What are the biggest changes off the bat for you for 2K24?
The main change is Faction Wars, which last year was painfully bad. It was fine, but it was like it was so repetitive. And the idea last year was Faction Wars was the 4v4 mode where you all four of your male or female wrestlers would fight against another CPU team of male or female wrestlers, and you had to win the match, and that was basically it. And every time you win a match, you basically go up, you rack up a certain number of wins, and when you hit 5 wins, you get a reward, 10 wins, 20 wins, all the way up to like 400 or 500 wins. So it was the ultimate grind. Combine that with the fact that 4v4 matches used to be insanely infuriating, because anytime you pin or submit, someone will climb in and hit you, and like every time you're like, come on. So you basically need to somehow stun all three of them before you can do a pin, and then invariably they'll kick out, use up this, and you're just like, oh, come on. So these matches would take like 20 minutes, 25 minutes every time. They've completely redone it this time. Faction Wars isn't anything like that anymore. It's now a kind of it's like 5 seasons it's split into, and it's almost like kind of roguelike style where you start with your team of four, and their energy lasts the entire run. So if you get hammered in one match, they remain hammered for the start of the next one. And as you go along, you've got different match types. There's 1-on-1, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, and you can get like bonus cards which regain some stamina, or they'll give you extra currency or what have you. And at the end of every run, there's a boss fight, and that's when you get your 4-on-4 match, and you do 5 of those, and then the currency you can then buy exclusive cards and stuff. It's infinitely better. And so is the fact that they fixed the interruption thing, where now when you are in a pin or submission and someone runs in and interrupts, they get a wee X next to their name. And means they can never come in again until they tag in. So essentially now, if you pin 3 times and get interrupted 3 times, you're now free to pin or submit someone without anyone. It's so much better. Especially if you just put like, just do 3 crappy pins at the start just to get them out of the way, and then just have a normal match.
Literally, that the first 4-on-4 match I did was against the Bloodline, and I literally ended up doing that when I was just like battering them with, because we got the version that we got gives you an action figure version of Cody Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes, and like a few other people. So I was just playing as action figure Cody Rhodes and just battering Roman Reigns to the point where I was like, okay, pin, there's Jey Uso, there's Jimmy Uso, there's Solo, and that's kind of...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think it's interesting in that faction wars that they have like the little store where you can like earn faction wars points to buy cards. Do those cards get added to your collection permanently, or are they just
as far as I can tell, they are permanent. It looks like the cards in the store are the cards that you get in the packs, but they just cost a lot more, obviously. So as at launch, you've got the Superstars Series 1, which is what they launch with, and there's like a Legends pack as well, but I don't know if they're in the store yet. And basically what you do is you either buy the packs, which are comically overpriced, to try and build up your collection, or you can go into the store and buy individual cards who you want, who are again comically overpriced, but at least then you know who you're getting. And I think that'll be useful in the future, because there's these live events which they kind of rotate, and maybe every 7 or 8 days they'll have new ones, and you get really good rewards for them. So it's like so-and-so's birthday, help them fight 3 guys in a steel cage, and if they win, then you unlock another card or some other reward. The problem is, by the end of last year's game, a lot of those live events were really specific in saying you need to use this wrestler, and unless you've been opening a million packs, you don't have that wrestler, so you were locked out of a lot of them. I'm hoping that most of these live events, if they do that again, there'll be wrestlers that you can then go and buy in this store. So at least the wrestlers will be expensive, but there's a way to get them instead of being locked out. So that's my hope. But it's fine.
Yeah, there's already, like, it's hard to know what the situation is, because obviously we're playing pre-release and they're like messing about with the servers. But when one of the live events was like, use the action figure John Cena, and I was like, I didn't know you could get an action figure John Cena. Like, they have since put the locker code out for that. You can get it on BGC. So yeah, I think I'll play more of my faction this year. I enjoyed what I played of it. I've always liked the Evo system from the NBA games. Like, I think that's great. It's ridiculous that it took EA so long to implement that and the football games, but I think it's solid. The speed at which you earn in-game currency is like a joke how slow it is.
And it's always going to be, which I think is annoying. Like, it's something like, I'm pulling numbers out of my arse here, but it's something like, say, 15,000 coins to unlock a pack. And one of the daily like tasks is like perform 50. One of the daily tasks I got yesterday was, you get daily tasks like in other live service games, and one of them was perform 50 crowd taunts, and you got crowd taunts, and you got 50 coins for it. And you're like, mate, come on. You're going to have to give me a bit more than that to actually...
It's absolutely pointless. There's also like a token system, which is similar to NBA's kind of My Team, where you get there's 10 emerald cards to unlock. Once you've unlocked 6 of them, you can start unlocking ruby ones, sapphire, up the chain. But the speed at which you get those are like non-existent. Obviously, this is the kind of thing that they can pull levers and tweak, and suddenly, oh, this week's weekly tower gets you like 200 tokens or something like that, when they want everyone to move up into that higher tier. But I like something that I like, a mode like that where it feels grindable if you're a maniac, but this feels like ungrindable. Even if this was your full-time job, you couldn't.
It's my biggest complaint from last year's game, and it's not entirely fixed this year, that if you wanted to, these games act like you should be aiming towards collecting them all, like Pokemon style, but actually makes it literally impossible for you to do that unless you're dropping 20 grand on the thing. Nobody will get a full collection of cards unless they're willing to spend obscene amounts of money to do it. So you basically have to resign yourself to the fact that you're not trying to collect them all, you're trying to put together a faction of your favourites and be happy with it. Kind of like FIFA, you put your best team together, but you're not trying to get every player in every team because it's impossible. And that appears to be the case here again, which is disappointing because they're laid out like trading cards. Like they're laid out, and there's literally a My Collection bit where it ticks them all off and say you've got 12 out of 120. It's like, it makes it look as if they want you to get all 120 of them, but it's like pretty much impossible. Also
worth noting, our dear Watts the Status might be out of a job.
Just what I was about to say.
They finally made a solution for. So last year there were certain versions of wrestlers that were exclusive to my faction. This made the community rightly very, very angry, because it's not even as if they were selling them in other modes. You could only play them in my faction. They didn't have entrances, they didn't have all that stuff. This year, however, for that kind of different era of a wrestler, it's noted as a persona. Mm. So as soon as you go into my faction, you will get a Sheamus persona, which is him from his debut. It's inaccurate because he doesn't have any wrist guards. Like, he has naked wrists. He looks like an incredibly naked man, but he has the he has the written in my face song. He has like all that stuff. So they've sorted that. I speculated to you earlier, this is on the one hand nice, and on the other hand devious, because there's so many opportunities for them to just rip this to pieces.
Yeah, pretty much. It on paper it's a good thing, because like obviously there are people who dabble in my faction but then want to play with their friends, and I can imagine a lot of people last year unlocking the John Cena action figure in my faction mode, and then when their pals want to play it with them, they can't use it in exhibition mode, and now they can, which is excellent. But yeah, it seems very clear that there's going to be a point where there's a really cool persona that comes out, fake Diesel maybe, and
Isaac Yankum,
exactly. Oh, imagine if they did a Kane one and it was Isaac Yankum.
See if they did a whole series of cards that were like failed gimmicks. Like if they did like they've got Kevin Nash do Oz, like they've got all this stupid get Hogan and has Terry Boulder from like the AWA. Like I'd love that.
Scott Hall as the Diamond Stud. So that stuff like that. It worries me that some of these are eventually going to be like nearly impossible or very expensive to get, and I just hope that they add them to that card market to at least give people a fighting chance of unlocking them without having to spend daft money on cards.
Because they know if they don't, What's the Status will be back and just ripping them and putting them on community creation straight away. Like they have to thread a needle wherein people will maybe spend money for it or grind for it. Because see, if it was like, if I logged in when the CM Punk DLC comes out and it's like, oh, this pack has Punk's 2011 persona and ECW persona and it's £7, I would buy that like straight away without any problem. But if it was like, you can grind 50 hours or you can just go on community creations and get a good fact.
Yeah, if it's like where you want ECW CM Punk, he's part of the ECW collection, which consists of 100 cards, and each card is like a tenner a pop. Each pack is a tenner a pop.
Is Balls Mahoney.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, there's only so many Jerry Lynn's that I want before I can unlock your CM Punk.
Get some Just Incredibles in the mix.
But it's so far, and I make the mistake of doing this every year when I start my faction. I say so far so good, and then a few months down the line they put in some dodgy crap to totally mess it up, and then you repeat it next year where they fix it, and then you go, okay, so far so good, and then so we should maybe do another podcast a couple of months down the line to say, right, how is it really? Because so far it's positive, but you can never not trust live service games not to kind of pull the rug out from under it after the reviews are out.
The last mode that I've got some experience in, my GM. I'm a big Football Manager guy. I love my GM conceptually. So essentially you run your own brand, you draft your superstars, you book shows, you try and beat the other brands, you keep your superstars happy, you set up feuds, all that kind of thing. On paper, wonderful. However, there's a problem. It can't decide if it's kayfabe or not. So in a booking mode, you would kind of hope that the game would be more willing to be like,
yeah,
This isn't predetermined. Yeah, but they treat it more as if you are a television general manager.
You're Adam Pearce.
So you're putting exactly. But even then, it doesn't make sense because the general manager on television isn't like booking promos. In my opinion, isn't like saying you call out this person. Isn't saying you turn heel. This week, yeah. Even though they don't say babyface or heel, they say like crowd pleaser and rule breaker. It's like, come on, we know what you mean. There should be a setting that's like, I'm I'm clued in, brother.
Mark's in.
So I start my GM and I'm like setting up feuds and stuff like that. And it's very similar to last year's game. However, there's annoying changes and stuff that's not accurate to TV where. If you do a call-out promo, say Becky Lynch calls out Chelsea Green in the first promo of the show, you can't use those. You can't use Becky Lynch anymore for the rest of the night. Like, you can't use her in any matches or anything like that, which is just so stupid because, like, you should be able to do a call-out promo, and then if you make the next match, those two people, it gets, like, a bonus in ratings or something like that. Like, it's just... It's kind of half-baked in a lot of ways. They don't give you nearly enough money, so you always start a season with like six guys and six lassies. It's like, this is just going to be booking the same amount of stuff over and over again. Also, you've got thousands of championships, so
everyone has
a title. Yeah, so it's kind of meaningless. And you mentioned those jobbers, they try to be like, okay, you can go and sign free agents and stuff like that. And the jobbers are there, and it's like, I don't want that. I want it to be realistic. And also, the whole roster isn't available in the draft. It's like a random selection. So I was like, well, I wanted to build my women's division around Becky Lynch and a heel Asuka. That was going to be my big feud for the first, like, Asuka wasn't in the draft. I had to wait and like scout Asuka like later in the season. It's like,
it's weird.
What are you trying to fulfill with this mode here? There's like, it's strange. Also, there's like these power cards you can play, which impact say your ratings and the amount of money you have, or if a superstar gets injured. One of them is like, fix the match. It's like, what do you mean fix the match?
Exactly, you're supposed to be booking it.
Yeah, it's close to, there's like small decisions that could be made that would make this mode perfect. And I already love this mode. I completed GM mode in the last game with every brand on hard, just because I enjoyed it so much, just because I was like, oh, I want to do like a storyline where like Imperium turns on Gunther and stuff like that. And they've made it better where you can now do tag team call out promos and there's more match types and stuff like that. But it's frustratingly limited and it doesn't trust you to know that wrestling isn't real, which is the weirdest the weirdest part of all of it.
That's odd.
But it's good. I'm glad it's there and not like so much in this game. It's like, don't take it away just because like I have criticisms, but make it better. Don't take it away. The last thing I really need to do is I want to go through the My Rise stuff. Those stories are always they're funny. Yeah. Like they have Drew Gulak directed a lot of the My Rise this year. Apparently, like I'd be interested to check that stuff out. I think it's my favorite wrestling game since 2K19. I think 2K19 is probably the best wrestling game since the PlayStation 2 Yuke's era, maybe. But, and this is
I'm glad they're keeping the silly stuff in it. This is just me just going off on a tangent here. The one thing I liked about 2K20, which obviously was an absolute disaster, and kind of set 2K back quite a bit, but it's a shame because for all the bugs and all the glitches and all the disaster that game was, its DLC was fantastic because it had like the first DLC was like the Bray Wyatt Fiend thing, and it was like the New Day like told a story set in like a haunted, and you fought in like a haunted ring in a cabin and at the side of the lake, and then the next DLC pack was that Southpaw wrestling
wrestling,
and you got all those kind of those characters and stuff, and every DLC was ridiculous, and I missed that, so I'm glad you've still got like the Cody Rhodes action figure and the John Cena, and like I was messaging you this earlier, like the fact that they've got bespoke commentary, they've actually bothered to, it's not just a general skin. I mean, you bring the Cody Rhodes figure which you get for pre-order, getting the deluxe edition or something, is when he injured his pec and got that big massive bruise on his pec.
So he's got a big rip.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the figure, like, based on that. And when he comes out, the commentator says, he may be an action figure, but that still looks painful. Stuff like that. It's like, I love the daftness of it.
It's like, oh, if you're getting beat up, it's like, oh, thank God he has 42 points of articulation. Exactly. And all that stuff. Like,
so I'm glad there's still some silliness in there, because that's what I kind of get a kick out of in my wrestling games. I'm hoping My Rise has got its fair share of kind of silly moments in there too.
From the look of it, from the trailer they put out, like, you have like a wedding at some point. Like, it seems like it is pretty like, people long for the days of the old story creator, like, Giant Bomb used to do a great trade, and the story creators, like Ghost Problems, like Jerry Lawler, just getting hit by cars over and over again in the backstage. Like, it seems to be of that.
I'm desperate. That story creator's never coming back, is it? Like, not with social media. Not with social media nowadays. It's like you're going to get people just instantly making own heart and doing like outrageous things, and it's just like it's never gonna happen. So I think we just need to resign ourselves to the fact that's never happening. So what's left without that is a good game. It's like, not since the days of No Mercy have I been this happy. I'm happy with it.
Me too. And I'm looking forward to going forward. When you load it up, our version is like, you unlocked like 6 DLC packs, and I was like, oh yeah, the DLC roster,
it's good, it's very good this year. It's not like, because last year, so it was like, here's 20 NXT boys and like two guys you care about. You're like, all right, okay. Yeah. But now it's like, everyone's decent.
See, if the DLC pack was the first pack alone spread out across 6 months. So the first pack, the ECW Punk pack, CM Punk, which, as soon as he returned the next day, they were clearly like, drop scan him. Like, we need to get him. Like, CM Punk, Bubba Ray Dudley, Devon Dudley, Sandman, Terry Funk. Like,
yeah. No Jerry Lynn,
no. No Jerry Lynn, no Justin Credible. Oh, what do you think Sandman's theme's going to be?
Oh, no, it's going to be generic as hell.
It's going to be like, bim,
bim, bim, it's going to be like when WCW used to do fake, like Jericho's theme in WCW for a while was a fake Even Flow by Pearl Jam. Yeah, and Raven was fake Come As You Are, but it's going to be like that. It'll be like fake Enter Sandman.
The fake Come As You Are is like, bim, 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 boom, 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 bim, boom, boom, boom.
And Jericho's like, Even Flow's like, bim, 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 bim. It's like, mate, we know what this is.
Was it Dallas Page that had the fake?
I was like, Dean Spirit. Dean
Spirit. Yeah, it's like, but don't you get a bump, bump, bump.
Speaking about, just in terms of theme songs, just to add the one benefit of there being a NWO John Cena is that the NWO theme in the black and white entrance is properly in there, which is like, I'm delighted.
Oh, is it the?
It's proper.
Sure, it's not the Hendrix scene.
No, it's just
about the... Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Oh, no, imagine.
I was about to say, they've not got the money for the Hendrix scene, surely.
but I'm happy with it. It's like, it gets you the way we are just now, like reminiscing and like talking crap about wrestling in the way that, the best way that these games can. All it's missing is Fred Durst as an unlockable character. And then
I mean, we've got Post Malone. He's very much the modern day Fred Durst. Honestly, the only thing that I don't, that makes me sad about this game is like, I wish Edge and Christian and the Hardys were in it. Like, it's just roster stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, when the absolute like geniuses of the creation suite make all of those people first week, I won't have a problem. Like,
I just, it's like, it makes me wish AEW would fold.
That's the headline.
It's so good, it makes me wish AEW would fold so we can get everyone back in it.
Good game. Anyway, we hopped on to speak about this game for half an hour, and now it's been an hour, so let's
enjoy the podcast.
Review on the website, VGC. Say goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye, Chris. Mankind loyal.
VGC, a video games podcast, is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win, We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.